RA-TV with Cam Edwards.
Baltimore ceasefire responds to murder. One way we do it is by showing up at every space where someone has been killed to put light and love in that space.
And again, in Baltimore, Maryland, a ceasefire weekend where community members gathered to try to have a murder-free weekend. Unfortunately, murderers had other plans, at least two homicides there in Baltimore. Good Monday to you. Cam Edwards, your host. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of Cam and Company. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Unless, of course, you live in Baltimore, Maryland, in which case, in my opinion, your right to keep and bear arms absolutely is infringed. In many ways, including your right to bear arms, because Maryland is one of those states that has a may issue law. You got to show some sort of good cause and your right of self-defense. Hey, I live in Baltimore and I want to protect myself. That's not seen as good cause in Maryland. And so you will not get your concealed carry license if you simply want to walk home safely from work or walk your kid home safely from school. And as again, for the fourth year in a row now, we had over 300 homicides in Baltimore, Maryland. We are pretty early on into 2019, so can't really get a good judge of the trend, but the trend has been bad over the past 4 years, and it's been just 6 years since the Maryland Firearm Safety Act, massive expansion of the state's gun control laws, was put into place. Lawmakers in Maryland, as we talked about on Friday, far more interested in slapping another couple of gun laws on the books rather than actually getting tough on the violent criminals that are driving crime in Baltimore. You don't even need to put another law on the books. And I realize, you know, sometimes on this program I talk about, oh, they're not doing this, and I never really get specific. Let me get specific. Let me tell you exactly what Baltimore City Council could do, what the Baltimore Police Chief could do, what the Baltimore Mayor could do that they're not right now. They could focus on the most aggressive and most violent crime, the most violent gang in Baltimore. They could start there. And they could find those most violent offenders within that most violent gang. And they could focus their resources there. Because we know, thanks to criminologists, that a small portion of the criminal class in any given city commit a disproportionate amount of violent crime. So if you start with the most violent and then you work your way out, you're going to have a hell of a lot more success in bringing down the violent crime rate than if you start with the law abiding and then try to work your way in to the most violent offenders. But that's what lawmakers are doing in Maryland. They're going about it exactly backwards, and the homicide rates in Baltimore show the results. It's not just Maryland, unfortunately, though. Illinois, we've got more gun laws proposed in the state legislature. Remember, the excuse me. I get choked up when I think about our rights disappearing like that. J.B. Pritzker, the anti-gun governor in Illinois, already signing gun control bills into effect this year. And now there is a bill that would ban most common semi-automatic long guns, severely curtailing the possession of existing firearms that the Edwardsville Intelligencer newspaper in Illinois says just one of many pieces of gun-related legislation that has been introduced this year in the Illinois General Assembly. And here's the thing. There's no backstop for gun owners in Illinois this year. There's no pro-gun House. There's no pro-gun Senate. There's no pro-gun governor. There's nothing standing in the way of these anti-gun politicians and as much anti-gun laws they want to put on the books, with the exception of, I don't know, maybe that primal lizard-like urge to, okay, let's moderate our message here before 2020 so we can try to get more gains. They don't seem to be doing that. They really do seem to be going all out this year around the country. I kind of thought they'd show a little bit more moderation and circumspection this year, but I guess that's not the case. So we have a lot of bad bills that are being introduced, not just in Illinois, but around the nation, and it is absolutely critical that those gun owners who are watching right now, those NRA members, look, even if you're in a state like Illinois where the numbers are against us, talk to your state lawmakers, reach out to them, let them know that you're there, let them know that you vote. This is an election year in Virginia and in New Jersey for statewide elections, but you're going to have local elections this year, next year. Your state representative is going to be up for election. Your state senator may very well be up for election. And, of course, all these are our Congress critters. Make sure that these officials are hearing from you right now and make sure that you are engaged in the fight right now. Because what's coming down the road in 2020 at the federal level is happening right now in states across the country. Again, this isn't a threat that is emerging. This isn't a threat that we've got to look for on the horizon. This is a threat that is in our midst right now. Give you another example of this in New Mexico. Got gun control bills in a House hearing. Could get a vote as early as the end of this week. We're talking the quote-unquote universal background check bill. House Bill 40 is background checks at gun shows. House Bill 83 is the quote-unquote red flag legislation. Some of these laws, or some of these bills, rather, have been introduced in the past. They've actually gone down to defeat as recently as just a couple of sessions ago. But Bloomberg is back at it again because he's not going to be satisfied until these laws are on the books, despite the fact that we've seen, again, evidence from anti-gun advocates themselves that these laws don't really do anything. They don't work. But they're all a part of a piece of a puzzle. You start here, and then you put another piece in place, and you put another piece in place. And I want to bring in right now from New Mexico a gun store owner to talk about this. Excuse me, sir. How are you? I appreciate you coming to the program. I just lost your name. I apologize for that.
Oh, it's Mark Abramson at Los Ranchos Gun Shop.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that very much. It is so good talking to you. And, you know, as I mentioned, I mean, these are bills that have appeared in the state legislature over the past couple of sessions. They've been defeated in part because of the grassroots activism of gun owners, the opposition from county sheriffs. What has changed this legislative session other than the makeup of the lawmakers there in Santa Fe?
I think it absolutely turns on the composition of the legislature this session. The leftists won in a big way. And the result is that they're able to push through this legislation. It's going straight on party line. That's how the decision's being made. It looks like it's going to go to the Senate floor this week. They're fast-tracking it. They've accepted no changes. And the fact that the anti-gun people are being outnumbered by gun owners does not seem to impress the legislators at all. They are hell-bent on getting this passed, regardless of the civil rights consequences resulting from it.
You know, and I remember the last time that this universal background check bill popped up, a quote from a state senator, I can't remember who it was, but the local media had reported this state senator saying, you know, look, I'm getting, like, for every 200 calls opposing this universal background check bill, I'm getting one call in support. You're telling me that those numbers are still there. It's just the lawmakers this time around, they don't seem to be listening to what their constituents are saying.
No, I think the investment that Michael Bloomberg and people of his ilk have made in New Mexico is finally coming to fruition. They've been bought and paid for. They already know how they're voting, and it's a done deal, and that's how they're treating it.
Well, I hope that we're going to be able to convince a couple of lawmakers there in New Mexico to listen to what their constituents have to say. If they listen now, it probably spares them a lot of grief in the next election cycle. But, you know, it's not just these constituents. You've got county sheriffs across the state of New Mexico that have stood in opposition to these gun control bills. Now, these are law enforcement officers, Mark. These are people who every day put their life on the line in order to protect and serve their communities. Yet they're being called tools of the gun lobby and all kinds of other, silly nonsense because they actually want things that are going to work, things that are going to actually address the problem of violent crime.
The law enforcement officers that have been front and center have been the sheriffs. The Sheriff's Association has been really out front on this, and they've done a fantastic job. They're not going to enforce the universal background check. They're very concerned about enforcement of the red flag bills. As I understand from recent discussion as early as today with our NRA ILA rep, gun shop owners throughout the state have said they will not do private transfer background checks because of some of the issues in this law. I mean, it just leaves us exposed.
Now, some of the liability issues you're talking about here. So if these are required in order to not just, you know, sell a gun, but to transfer a firearm, even temporarily, and gun stores aren't going to do those private checks, then who does, Mark, in order for this law to actually have any, you know, semblance of even working here?
And that's going to be the problem. For example, federal law does not cover antique firearms, muzzle loaders, things like that. Yet this law, because they haven't bothered to talk to anyone, is going to require us to run NICS background checks on the transfer of muzzle loaders. We're just not going to do it because we can't. It puts our license at risk, and we're not going to do that.
That is fascinating. I got to tell you, Mark, you know, the one good thing here is that in their zeal to go after law-abiding gun owners, they're writing a lot of really bad pieces of legislation. Things that if they go ahead and they put these laws on the books are going to be challengeable, and I think will be challenged in court. I hate it when it has to you know, go to the judiciary when we can't have these things off of the legislative branch. But that seems like not just a very poorly written bill, but that seems like a bill that, you and other FFLs in New Mexico might very well find a cause for action here.
I believe so. But the other element is we're simply going to tell all of our customers when the police ask about their gun, just say, yes, I have a gun, and that's the end of the discussion. Don't tell me, you know, when they got it, where they transferred it, because the police don't have a case, and you don't need to give them their case. It's a bad bill.
Talking again with Mark Abramson from the Los Ranchos Gun Shop in New Mexico. Mark, unfortunately, we've got to move on, but we are not going to move on from this story completely. We are going to continue to watch this. You say there's a potential for a vote on these bills on Friday. In the meantime, again, despite how much money your state senator or your House member may have taken from Michael Bloomberg, still write them, email them, point out why this is a bad legislation, and point out that you vote as well. And Mark, thank you, sir, for what you do there in the land of enchantment.
Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Look forward to doing this again very soon. Mark Abramson with us here on Cam and Company. Up in Maine, gun owners were turning out in force at the state capitol, hundreds of them in Augusta, on Friday, as the individual who has been named to be the next head of the Department of Public Safety, Mike Sawchuk, was testifying. Now, Mike Sawchuk is the former police chief in Portland, Maine. And unlike the county sheriffs in New Mexico we just talked about, a lot of big city police chiefs, they love themselves some gun control. Just can't get enough of it. And that would have been the case in Portland, Maine, which has a lot of gun owners in Maine a little concerned here. When you have a guy who is, you know, much more at home embracing a Bloombergian mentality when it comes to your right to keep and bear arms rather than the explicit language protecting the right to keep and bear arms that is enshrined in Maine's Constitution, this is when you get hundreds of people showing up at the state capitol, including former state senator Eric Brakey, who talked about some of the concerns. I think we've got a little bit of the nominee, Mr. Sawchuk, as well as former State Senator Brakey here.
I'm not hiding from anything I've ever done or said about that issue or anything else. It's out there, and I'm more than happy to have a conversation about it.
This is about the fact that this particular individual may be a nice man, but he is grossly out of touch with the rest of Maine. Mike Sawchuk's anti-gun agenda may play well in Portland, but he would be in charge of firearm laws for the entire state of Maine, and that radical anti-gun agenda doesn't play so well in the rest of Maine.
Now, I got to say, it is expected that Sawchuk is going to get his nomination confirmed, likely along party lines there in the legislature in Maine. But again, gun owners have been very, very active this session in ensuring, again, that they are in constant contact with their lawmakers. There is, I'd say, some real trepidation and concern about an anti-gun governor who has been fairly moderate, maybe even in favor of some pro-gun proposals in the past, but now is part of a party that seems to have embraced, by and large, a disarmament agenda. So there's a bit of a wait-and-see attitude, but when it comes to those existing threats of, okay, this guy was an anti-gun mayor or an anti-gun police chief, now he's going to be able to set policy across the state, we are seeing that rapid response legislatively from gun owners across the state of Maine, and that is good to see. It is inspiring to see. We could take an example from it no matter where we live. In New York City, New York City is a special case, isn't it? New York City is going to the Supreme Court this fall. That's some good news. Bad news in New York City is that despite all those gun control laws in the books, there is still violent crime. In fact, a 24-hour crime spree ended earlier today when several individuals were arrested. Our friend Rob O'Donnell from Brothers Before Others was tweeted about this earlier today and noted that these suspects were recently arrested for armed carjacking. Like January 22nd recently arrested for armed carjacking. And yet, we're already back out onto the streets. Rob O'Donnell joins us on the program right now. Rob, how are you, sir?
Good, Cam. How are you?
I am good. All right. So as a former New York City police officer, you see stories like this. You see Mayor Bill de Blasio has never met a gun control bill he doesn't like. Governor Cuomo, he's, yes, let's have some more. And again, those laws are, generally speaking, aimed at people who are legal gun owners. They're law-abiding gun owners. And then I see a story like this where, you know, individuals with a previous criminal history, just a few weeks ago arrested for armed carjacking, back out on the streets, lickety-split, and now, accused of a 24-hour crime spree, they've you know, just exponentially multiplied the charges that they're facing here.
Yeah, seven crimes in three different boroughs over the course of the day, and ultimately coming to a conclusion when they tried to run down a New York City police officer, uniformed police officer, trying to apprehend them. Thankfully, she was able to use her firearm and incapacitate the driver so the assault didn't continue. But it turns out that two of these three individuals, the suspects that went on this 24-hour, seven-crime, three-borough crime spree, were arrested just January 22nd for, again, armed carjacking and robbery. So it's disgraceful. And I try and look at New York City media and police reports coming out with their judicial revolving door with a grain of salt, but it just astounds me mm-hmm. every time a new story comes out. You know, this murder today in the that happened yesterday in broad daylight on the number 7 train that I've been tweeting about, it turns out that suspect that they have arrested was arrested for conspiracy to murder in December. You think?
Wait, 2 months ago? Arrested for conspiracy to murder?
2 months ago, the murderer on the number 7 train that happened in broad daylight was taken down in a major MS-13 gang arrest for conspiracy to murder several Latin King gang members just this past December. And he was out this past Sunday to murder someone in broad daylight on a heavily trafficked commuter train.
You know, you hear stories like that, Rob, and then you think about this law that New York City is going to defend at the Supreme Court where, all right, so you're a legal gun owner, you're licensed, we've said you can have a gun in your home, but you can only take that firearm to one of seven pre-approved ranges, even if, there's a closer range outside of the five boroughs. You can't go to your uncle's place in Utica because, again, we think that you might engage in an act of road rage. You might take that locked up, unloaded firearm and use it to hurt somebody. That's where they're focusing their efforts. And then you've got stories like the ones that you just mentioned here. And because, you know, again, another gun control law aimed at legal gun owners won't impact those violent criminals, the politicians just don't talk about those stories.
There's not a civilian friend that I know that hasn't seen the video of the subway shooting that advocated to me where could they go for firearms training, you know, that how can these people, these commuters, be left in that helpless situation under the anti-gun laws of New York City. Being a 30-year veteran of the police department, watching that video was unbelievable. Unbelievable, the lack of broad daylight, the lack of how many people were there, who was filming, who was there, just the total regard for law and life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, you know, again, we're told we got to put our faith in those individuals that they don't want to hurt us. And, if we just hand over our money or cooperate in whatever way that hopefully it'll all work out all right. Rob O'Donnell, former New York police officer with Brothers Before Others. It's good to see you, sir. I'm going to be in Harrisburg this weekend. So let's you and I chat about possibly getting together at the Great American Outdoor Show.
Absolutely. I'm going to try and get down there with myself.
All right, man. I'll talk to you soon. Rob O'Donnell with us here on Cam and Company. Time now for our hero of the day, Elizabeth City, North Carolina, WITN. Police in Elizabeth City, say a registered sex offender from New Bern, North Carolina, shot after he broke into a home early Friday morning. Happened in the 600 block of Bell Street around 6:30 last Friday morning. They say Tyrell Johnson came into the home through a back door, was confronted by the homeowner who ended up shooting Tyrell Johnson twice. The 38-year-old suspect then drove himself to a local hospital. According to police, he was then transferred to another hospital in fair condition. Police say no charges have been brought against the homeowner in the home invasion and shooting. Johnson, meanwhile, has been on the sex registry since a 2008 conviction for second-degree sexual offense. He was also convicted, by the way, of manslaughter at that same time. He was released from prison in August of 2017, but according to police, is a parole absconder. And if you're doing your math here, that's right. 9 years in prison for manslaughter and sexual offense. And that was our hero of the day story. But now it's time for our deal of the day story. See, there's no shortage of these types of stories in the criminal justice system, are there? Hayes, Kansas, KWCH, police in Hayes say that they are looking for a man named Trey Carrasco, who is a suspect in a rape. He was released from jail on Friday after serving a sentence for aggravated sexual battery. Two days later, police in Hayes, Kansas say he assaulted a woman in a neighborhood near Fort Hayes State University. It was about 5:40 Sunday morning. A woman reported being sexually assaulted. Trey Carrasco then stole a car, according to police, fled the area. He's been seen in and around Hayes over the past couple of days. Court records show a lengthy criminal history for him. In 2011, when he was 16, he was convicted of multiple charges, including aggravated sexual battery and causing great bodily harm with a weapon. That was 8 years ago. During his time in prison, he was cited more than a dozen times for disobeying orders, having dangerous contraband, and intoxication. He also, by the way, absconded in October 2018 from his parole, which means he did less than 8 years in prison on that first charge. He went back to jail for a few months and then was released on February the 1st. He's considered armed and dangerous. Should have been considered behind bars. But there you go. Trey Carrasco in Hayes, Kansas, today's deal of the day. Our good guy of the day. Excuse me. Hang on one second here. There we go. Our good guy of the day today from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where an off-duty police sergeant actually came to the aid of a Little Caesars employee. Police say the sergeant had walked by the pizza shop. It's about 6:50 Sunday afternoon. He saw a guy leaving with a gun, which was a little unusual because he should have been walking out with a pizza. So the sergeant called for backup, then followed the armed man in his private vehicle. Responding officers were able to make the arrest there. Suspect facing multiple charges, the 37-year-old employee there of the Little Caesars, who was unfortunately injured in this robbery, she has been hospitalized, but she is listed as stable. That sergeant, again, in the right place at the right time, off duty, but always alert, willing and able to do the right thing. He is today's good guy of the day. All right, so we got a little bit of time here. I want to get into a story. So I'm sitting down yesterday, and it's almost time for, I think we have to call it, the big game, so we don't get in trouble. So I'm getting ready for the big game, and I get a text from Mark Geist, and it's a link to a news story about this ad that Mark was in with the company Nine Line Apparel, and this ad was submitted to run during the Super Bowl, and this ad was rejected, apparently, and did not run during the Super Bowl. Oh, I'm sorry. The big game! Sorry about that. So I was curious about this. I took a look at this ad. I can't figure out why on earth it was rejected from being aired during the big game, but I want you to see this ad that you couldn't see during the big game.
Don't ask if your loyalty is crazy. Ask if your loyalty is crazy enough. When they question you running towards danger for those who are unable or unwilling. When they laugh at the thought of you willingly sacrificing your life for someone you may never know. Stay that way. Some people think you're crazy being loyal, defending the Constitution, standing for the flag. Then I guess I'm crazy.
Then I guess I'm crazy.
Then I guess I'm crazy.
And for those who kneel, they fail to understand that they can kneel and that they can protest, that they can despise what I stand for, even hate the truth that I speak. But they can only do that because I am crazy enough.
So, again, I'm wondering what the issue was. According to the Washington Examiner, a spokesman for Nine Line said that CBS did not like the ad's content. I didn't see anything inappropriate because here's the thing. I mean, listen to that message from Mark. And by the way, we're going to try to get Mark Geist on the program tomorrow to talk about this one-on-one. But, you know, you go back and listen to what Mark Geist was saying. He didn't call anybody any names. He didn't say you shouldn't speak. How dare you say that? How dare you take a knee? How dare you do this, that, or the other thing? It was quite the opposite. The message was, if you do all those things, you do them because of people like me who served. And by the way, I personally have never served, which is why I hold men like Mark Geist in such high regard. Because there are individuals out there who have put their lives on the line in a way that I never have, and maybe you never have, and certainly a lot of the folks who are protesting against this nation never have. And that's fine. We don't have a draft in this country. Again, you choose to serve. But should we not recognize and honor those who have made that choice? That to me is what that message, that what that ad was all about. Of say what you want. Be as mad as you want. But recognize that your right to speak out is protected by some of those that you're speaking out against. I don't think that was a controversial message. I wish that CBS would have aired it. It would have been better than some of the ads that I saw last night during the big game. But at least we got to see it here on Cam and Company. So, yeah, we'll be talking with Mark Geist about this tomorrow. And in the meantime, I would love to get your thoughts about this as well. You can tweet me at Cam Edwards. Again, did you see anything inappropriate? Anything wrong with this ad? I don't know if we can do this, but can we show it one more time? If you've got it queued up, it might take a second.
Don't ask if your loyalty is crazy. Ask if your loyalty is crazy enough. When they question you running towards danger for those who are unable or unwilling. When they laugh at the thought of you willingly sacrificing your life for someone you may never know. Stay that way. Some people think you're crazy being loyal, defending the Constitution, standing for the flag. Then I guess I'm crazy.
Then I guess I'm crazy.
Then I guess I'm crazy.
And for those who kneel, they fail to understand that they can kneel and that they can protest, that they can despise what I stand for, even hate the truth that I speak. But they can only do that because I am crazy enough. Don't ask if your loyalty is crazy.
Ask if you're loyal. What is that message? The message is loyalty, right? Loyalty to who? Loyalty to a political party? No. Loyalty to a politician? No.
Happy Monday.
Loyalty to this nation, right? That's what that message was all about, and that is what's so controversial that it can't be aired on CBS during the big game. That's remarkable. I think the decision by CBS not to run that ad, if it really was for the content, that's far more controversial than any of the actual content. But we're going to talk about this tomorrow with Mark Geist. In the meantime, Relentless with Data Lash, still to come here on NRA TV. Thank you so much for being a part of the program today. We'll see you back here tomorrow, the Tuesday edition of Cam & Company.